If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me in them to Numbers chapter 25? And of course, you don't have your Bibles. There are Bibles, pew Bibles, the black ones in front of you. Turn in them to Numbers and chapter 25. And we will be reading verses 1 through 18, the entire chapter of this, which is the Word of God. Numbers chapter 25 and starting in verse 1, these are the words of God. Give your attention to them. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord, out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor." And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel, and those who died in the plague were 24,000. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel." Now the name of the Israelite who was killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, the son of Salu, a leader of a father's house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite woman who was killed was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head of the people of a father's house in Midian. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Harass the Midianites and attack them, for they harassed you with their schemes by which they seduced you in the matter of Peor and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a leader of Midian, their sister, who was killed in the day of the plague because of Peor." Those are the words of living and true God. God's people have been, Israel has been protected. That was the last few chapters. They've been protected from Balak and Balaam. And now we come back to a passage where we're again, kind of a theme over every so often in Numbers, the God's people are sinning again. And here they're breaking the seventh commandment and the first and second commandments, and they're really committing all, or breaking all the commandments. Mostly the seventh and the second. The seventh, of course, is thou shalt not commit adultery. And the second is that we should not make any image of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath. They were committing, verse 1, harlotry. But this harlotry was compounded by their doing so with the women of Moab, and so they were... They have this principle that we know of, that they were becoming unequally yoked. It's the same that happened in Genesis and why the flood came in Noah's day. Because the people of God went to the women who were of men. That is, God's people went with those who were not God's people. And it's the same here. They were committing harlotry though. And they were doing this. And that led, because they were unequally yoked, even though they weren't being married, they were unequally yoked. That led to false worship, because they had the gods, the women there had their gods, they were worshiping them, and so the men also worshiped those gods, the Moabite gods. And so we have this statement in verse 3, so Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, the god, that false god. Israel was driven by the flesh, and it led them to idolatry. And it's infiltrated. It's the same way it's infiltrated the church today. For the church as well, heightened by the lust of the flesh, as we think of the church throughout just our nation. It's been infiltrated, and the lusts of the flesh have gone on, and this has brought about a falling down and an idolatry, a worshiping of what? The gods of entertainment, the gods of the riches, the gods of easy believism, and the gods of our culture. And why has this happened? Because the church, in the lust of her eyes, craves the culture and loves the things of the world more than they love the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His Word. And it's led to idolatry of the highest sort in Christ's church. Well, how does the Lord view this then? Verse 3, He's angry. He's angry. And so the judges took those who had offended, those who had gone and played the harlot, the prostitute, and committed idolatry. They took those people, the judges, that is the leaders of the different tribes who were judging over those different tribes, they took them and they put them to death. And that's what sin does, beloved. 24,000 dead. Because the wages of sin is death. And that's what He was showing to Israel once again. And this has been a common theme, as we said in Numbers. And then there's one, Phinehas, the son of the high priest, the one who shows us the jealousy of the Lord, the zeal of the Lord, who saw what was happening amongst the people in the plague. There's people weeping. There's people weeping at the temple, at the tabernacle of meeting, because of the plague that has happened. And here comes this man of Israel with this Midianite woman, exalting in the lusts and the harlotries and the idolatries. And there's Phinehas, and he sees them, and they go into a tent to do what they're going to do. And Phinehas, in his zeal, goes in and he puts them to death. Because there ought not to be sin in Israel. And so God blessed his zeal with a covenant for all his descendants. And it points us to Christ. Phinehas does. He points us to Christ. And that He, it says, made atonement for the children of Israel. He saved them from this plague. And then you go back as you continue in the passage, and you see that God says there's supposed to be hostility between you and the other people, the unbelievers, the other nations, the Midianites, the Moabites. There's supposed to be enmity, hostility. Don't you remember Genesis 3? There's supposed to be hostility between you. And so He says, there must be hostility again. And so He puts enmity between the people. And it's this account that is used to warn us today of our sin. And it's the ending of Psalm 106. You could write that down if you're taking notes. Psalm 106, it also refers to this passage at the very end of that passage. And it says there in that psalm, they joined themselves also to Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices made to the dead. Thus they provoked Him, that is God, to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped. And that was accounted to him for righteousness to all generations forevermore. The faith of Phinehas was shown that day, and he was shown to be justified in the sight of God. Praise the Lord for people like Phinehas. May God raise up a people today in the church who will stand up for the truth of the gospel boldly and for the word of God with great zeal, like Phinehas. And may you be like Phinehas in that way. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise for the zeal of many of your servants who have served your church throughout the history of the world. We think of the many prophets who have gone before in the times of the Old Testament, even all the way up to John the Baptizer. And we're thankful for godly priests as well, like Phinehas. And Father, we're thankful for the servants like Paul and Peter and John and many others that are attested in Scripture. And then we think of many in the history of the church after the time of the Bible, like Justin Martyr and Augustine and John Huss and Wycliffe, and many of our covenanter fathers who were burned at the stake because they loved your worship more than the world. Father, give us zeal like that. And give us a passion for the truth. Give us a great hatred of sin, not only in ourselves, but in the church and in others, that we would call them out. Of course, we ought to do that in love, privately, and in the way that you teach us in Matthew 18 and Galatians 6 with the spirit of gentleness. But Father, we ask that you would give us zeal and a love for righteousness and a hatred of sin. Father, we also pray that you would bless your church as we consider the church throughout the world. Many congregations of your church, of which Christ is the head and king. Father, we see there is much sin and lust of this of the world and the going after the ways of the world. Now, some we acknowledge worship in ignorance. And Father, we pray that you'll give them clarity. But there's some who know your word and yet rebel against it and worship the way they want to worship instead of how you desire to be worshipped. And so they are no different than Nadab and Abihu who offered strange fire. Father, we ask that you would turn them from their sins and forgive them and also humble us. Father, we know that if it's not for your grace and mercy, we would be the same. And Father, there may be parts of our worship that are false. And so, Father, we ask that you would turn us from such sins as well and such idolatries. Father, even here in our hearts, often we're hoping to hear something in very particular or to have our hearts feel a certain way. And yet, Father, that's not always your design and in your providence. So, Father, we pray that we'll trust your providence. And Father, we ask that you give wisdom to elders, the elders of this congregation, the elders of our denomination, as we consider these things. And Father, we have many requests. So we think of the plagues that put many to death. Father, we also think of illnesses that are affecting us. And so, Father, we ask that you would heal those who are sick. We pray for Jeff's mother-in-law, who's sick and was seemingly on the way to death soon. We're thankful that you are healing her. And yet, Father, we do pray for her soul. We know that it seems like, according to Jeff, that she may not believe, she may not be your child. And so, Father, in these last days, months, years of her life, Father, we ask that you would convict her of her sin and turn her from it unto the only Savior under heaven, Jesus Christ. Father, we also pray for Rachel and this baby who was born a month early, Veda, and thankful for this new grandchild and a new child. Father, thankful that she is doing well, even though she's born a month early, and no complications there, and we're thankful. We give you praise for that. And Father, I also don't know if Rachel or, of course, the child is your child or not, but Father, we pray that you'll do your saving work in both of them. And Father, we continue praying for Shane and Arian, who we rejoice with today as they come to take vows of membership, oaths before you. And Father, we ask that you would grant to them a zeal, a passion to serve your church, just as we pray for all of us, and that they would continue loving you and not stray from the truth. Father, we pray for their baby in the womb, and that you would even save that child at the earliest of times, even now, if it be your will. We know you can do it now. Though not ordinary, you've done it even with John the Baptizer. And so, Father, we ask that you would do so soon, if it be your will. And you would also keep that child healthy in the womb, and Arian as well. Father, we ask that you would heal Dina and Jeannie and others we've prayed for. We're thankful for the many visitors we have today. We're thankful for Phyllis being here with us again, and pray that our fellowship meal would be a blessing to us this afternoon. And may we have godly conversation. Father, we're thankful that you provide each other this communion of believers together to worship you, and then also fellowship following. Father, we ask that you would watch over us, care for us, even in this time as we worship you, that you would protect us from temptation and distraction and sin, that our hearts would be fully engaged on the reading and preaching and praying and the singing of your word, Father. And then, Father, we do ask for your help in this congregation, that you would sanctify us and keep us from the harlotries and idolatries of the world as Israel went into. Father, keep us from that. And even those here of the Shawnee congregation and Phyllis from the church in Springfield, keep our congregations from great error. We pray all these things, knowing that you're a God who answers our prayers, not only hears them, but answers. And as we pray in faith, knowing that you will answer according to your will, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.